Hello, everyone, and welcome to the big show. I'm Jeff Gamet. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And I feel like I'm channeling my inner Ewan because I'm having insurmountable technical problems. But it's okay. All it means is that today there's no live stream. But since you're watching this or listening to it, it means, hooray, the recording actually worked. So, yeah, sorry, no live stream today. But we're here, and I have no doubt that Tom and Ian will both do their best to entertain me. Tom, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Jeff. It's a fine fall morning here, and I'm sad about the demise of summer, but I'm just gonna have to deal with it. Summer's over.
Well, you're in California, so how do you tell the difference?
I was wondering this.
When it drops from, let me do the math. When it drops from 23 degrees Celsius to 15 degrees Celsius in a day.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I guess it if that's what you have, then that's what you roll with, right?
Yes.
I find it so weird though. Like I've been in California for winter holidays, and it's so weird. It's like December 23rd, and someone's out mowing their lawn. Just
Yes.
how, no, that's not how this works.
Maybe
The fact
digging snow off your
that we
drive,
can
aren't
actually see our lawn on December
you?
23rd.
Maybe digging the snow off your lawn at that point.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Well, glad you're here, and I'm glad that you're prepared for the bitter, bitter California cold.
Yes.
Yeah. Ian, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. This week has been more busy week of teaching classes, telling people about wonderful things like Oracle and stuff. And it's always nice to get feedback of guys saying they're going out to talk to customers and stuff I've given them is going to help particularly. So that's lovely. Here, on the other hand, in England, we know autumn is over now. Particularly when I look outside. Normally, when I do these shows, it's still daylight. That's gone away now. It's
Yeah.
now coming darkness, and we'll soon have the lovely confusing point when our clocks will go back at the end of the month, and yours won't for another couple of weeks, when Jeff and I won't know what time it is.
Yeah,
So
that's going to be super awesome.
that comes up very soon.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's not too bad. I mean, I've had a lovely weekend though. We went down to Bristol, saw my daughter. Didn't get a chance. Apologies to Graham, crikey trousers from the chat room. I didn't get a chance to see him, but. Doing daughter things was more important, sadly, this time around. Next time I'm down there, I'll try and catch up with him for a beer. But otherwise, yes, it was lovely. We went to Suspension Bridge. We had a wander around the city. It was nice. It was nice.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Well, here we can tell that it's fall, because it's Colorado, and it's like bipolar weather where it alternates between temperatures in the 80s Fahrenheit down to the mid 30s Fahrenheit. So,
Mid
yeah.
thirties.
Yeah, we
That's
haven't
cold.
gotten a cold enough for an actual freeze yet. And I mean, it's October 16th, so it's kind of weird that, but we're actually having fall that lasts more than a week, which is really weird. Like, in other parts of the world, when fall happens, it goes on for several weeks. And what I'm used to, what I grew up with, was, it's fall because there's this one week where all the leaves are changing, and it's nice and cool, and feels really nice. And then it just gets bitter cold, and all the leaves just fall off the trees.
Funny here, we've just got that point now where summer's on the wane and it's beautiful. I walked various places over the course of the weekend and sort of leading up, and you're having this lovely golden color coming to the trees. Some leaves are falling, some have not yet. And it's one of the nicest, I think it's one of the nicest times of year here, where we've got beautiful gold leaves and stuff, and you get that whole kind of autumn feel, as we call it here. You still call it what we used to call it in the 1800s and before, fall, because the leaves fall.
Okay.
We borrowed autumn from the French.
Well, okay, to be fair, with as many times as England and the surrounding area have been overrun by invading forces, it's okay to say you didn't borrow it from the French. They kind of forced it on you.
No, we borrowed this. This one we borrowed because it was a point in the 1800s. We French, see, I had a threads I occasionally contribute to it. There was one where someone was telling off an American for all the Z's and the I, the Z, the old I's with an S or a Z. In English, in British English, there's an IS. You guys, IZ. The reason for it is mostly back to English arrived in Americas with the Mayflower. And Morris didn't change as much as it has here on the other side of the Atlantic, where we've had influences that we got all excited by the French and the way sort of the French spoke. So we adopted lots of things. It's why we switched around meter, BRE instead of ER, and all of those things happened after you guys ran away in 1776
Oh,
and became
interesting.
traitors. So
Yeah,
your
that's us.
changes. So American English stayed the way of the Mayflower, and so historically, some of your English is older than my English because yours is still rooted in pilgrims and Mayflowers and all of that stuff.
So, Ian, are you saying that American English is actually more authentic than current British English?
Only if you want to be authentic to someone who spoke English in the 1700s, in which
That's
case,
my point.
yes. But if you're 17, you're aiming for 1700s English, yes, American English with some of its spellings. I have to thank for this knowledge a brilliant book by Bill Bryson called Mother Tongue.
That's super
I rec
cool.
I've recommended it a number of times. It's a really, really good book, but it explains how all this madness works. So I tend to be less grumpy about the whole American English thing. Yeah, well, it's just different things. Ours has evolved one way, yours has evolved another. You've lost some use in the process, all those kind of things. And
It's the same thing all around the world. You
it
know,
is, it is. It's the way
the
language develops.
version of Chinese characters that Japanese use were relevant or match what was common in China 500 years ago, but is very different than what Chinese use today.
It's that whole evolution of language. No one's right or wrong, really. It depends on where you are.
It's been a while, so I can't remember if it was something I was reading, it was an article, or if it was like NPR. So for those of you not in the United States, National Public Radio interview, and they were talking about the deviation between English in the UK and English in the United States, and dialects, accents, all of that. And it talked about how if you want to hear what British English sounded like much more accurately, when us traders decided to hop over to this side of the Atlantic, you go into the Appalachian Mountains, and the accent there, which today is well, for a long time has often been portrayed as a trope for less educated people. And honestly, whatever accent you have has no bearing on how educated or intelligent you are.
Oh, no, not at all.
But that's was a thing. And so it must have been an NPR thing, because they had some people reciting Shakespeare with Appalachian accents, and it sounds like a completely different thing.
Oh, I can imagine.
It's
If you've ever done Shakespeare spoken as it sounds and as it's read, rather modernized to modern English, it takes you at least 30 minutes for your ear to tune in to how it spoke, even for an English person. It's really contrast, and it must sim there must be again similarities with pilgrims and all that kind of thing. English has been more current to that talk, current to that spoken word, so it must sound quite, actually there must be quite good there in terms of feeling more, there's an authenticity to the sound.
Oh yeah, yes. It sounds more authentic. When you see Shakespeare performed here, at least. And I saw it in the Globe, and it was a more modernized production of I forgot which show off the top of my head, but here Shakespeare's presented typically as this very kind of uptight, prim and proper type of theater. When you hear it with Appalachian accents, it changes because now you're witnessing stories about real people in the streets, the commoners.
Which is who he was writing about.
Yeah. Anyhow, super
Completely who he
cool.
was writing about at that time. Depending on which what play you're seeing and the events going on around it. Yeah, it was social commentary for its time.
It
He was talking
was.
about events and things that everyone would have common reference to when all of the different stories were written. People would have known the backstory to a lot of the things that were going on, and his presentation of it was just one of many. And so it's something that I'm, 'cause I read a bit about, because I was there, I didn't really know much about myself until later in life, and my wife is more way more cultured than I am. I said, "Do you want to go?" I said, "Well, I don't think it really might. I mean, I'm a guy from the estates, whatever the equivalent is in America. I'm a poor guy. I'm not a rich guy, and so that thing wasn't really my scene, like art galleries and everything else."
Okay, so
So
here we'd say you're from the trailer park.
exactly, that's exactly it. The trailer park type of guy. I forgot about that reference. Yes, I am a trailer park kind of guy. And so it wasn't really my scene. And I read a bit about things and stuff and learned it. I thought, actually, this would be interesting. We went to Stratford-upon-Avon, home of Shakespeare, and we saw Hamlet done in the theatre there. And it was amazing. It took us, like I say, half an hour for my ears to adjust. But then the stories was still the stories, and it was fantastic. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And
And
just goes to show.
everyone, thank you for joining us for this
Yeah.
week in Language
In
and Literature.
yeah. We're glad to help you. We could
Yeah.
probably easily we could easily fill an hour with talking about this sort of thing.
We could, but I fear it's far too highbrow for what's expected of us.
We'll have to
Just
add that to
saying.
the summer of fun conversations.
There we
That's
go.
definitely a
Okay.
topic for one of our summer of fun conversations.
Yeah, we'll do a
Literature
summer of
and
fun, the
Shakespeare.
smart episode.
Yes, the one and only. The one and
Right.
only we ever
We'll get
do,
it out of our
yes.
system. Okay. Well, Ian, you brought the first story today,
I
I
did, and
believe.
that's also kind of a smart one as well. And we're talking about language and learning as well here in another way. Because, yeah, another story about AI. But this one I'm finding more and more interesting. This is an article from Bloomberg Business Analysis article. And there's a lovely diagram in this particular article mapping out the money that's going into AI and how it's feeding, and it's kind of the snake that bites its own tail sort of thing, where the money's going. It's fascinating. This is brought on by this week. We've got OpenAI are investing in Nvidia, Nvidia, AMD, Oracle, Larry Ellison, Oracle's getting his fingers in the pie. So many companies are wanting to get a share of OpenAI at this point. Microsoft obviously are there too, and so early in a piece of technology's development that has so much money building up this bubble, which the fear, I think we've talked about it before, whether that will actually burst and everybody walks away with no money in their pockets, or it becomes the next greatest thing and it becomes shitified to the point where it's no real use anymore.
Yeah.
Cory Doctorow has got, I definitely am with him on a lot of things I see of the changes in stuff that comes out.
Looking at this chart that's in here, and you're right, that's a
Yes.
really cool chart.
That's a really cool chart, seeing how everything goes together.
It's yeah, and so each company is represented by a circle. The size of the circle is representative of proportional investment. And NVIDIA is the massive circle, and OpenAI is it's a nice size circle, but not as big as the Oracle
Yeah.
circle. The Microsoft circle is almost as big as the NVIDIA circle.
Yes.
Well, I think, one way to look at this is, as you said, building data centers and supporting the infrastructure build out for AI costs a lot of money. And frankly, OpenAI doesn't have enough money to
No.
do that. So the one way to look at the money exchange is basically companies like NVIDIA and Oracle and AMD are investing in OpenAI, giving them the capital to do what they need to do. But instead of giving them cash, it's really they're giving them free chips and free
Yeah,
hardware.
they're giving
So
service. It's services, plenty
it says
services.
$100 billion, but what it really means is $100 billion worth of NVIDIA chips. That's number one. And number two is don't confuse PR announcements with contracts. So when I've already heard about the NVIDIA $100 billion is some people say it's only actually a letter of intent, which
Oh, that's interesting.
means nothing. They wouldn't sign it lightly. They wouldn't even
No.
even for a letter of intent, they take it seriously. But what it probably means is there's a bunch of conditions in that letter of intent. They would have to actually write a contract. That contract might be only maybe a 12-month contract for $10 million, with the letter of intent saying, if we still like each other after a year, we'll sign a $20 billion deal next year if we're all happy. But that's not that unusual. So a couple of things. One is it's all designed to give companies like OpenAI the capital that they need to do their build out, and two, it's all conditional, is my guess.
Yeah, and you look at the money going into Oracle, and that money's funneling back into Nvidia. Because it
Yeah, it
is the
just
whole
goes in
money
a
go,
circle.
it is a money go round, isn't it? Because the
Yeah.
diagram's really, if we could do share screen and show that so it ends up in the video, it's
Yeah,
quite an
it's.
interesting little diagram, because it's you can see how the money comes from OpenAI. They spend money with Larry at Oracle. Oracle then goes off to Nvidia and says, we need some CPUs now. We need to be able to, we need to, we've got the data centers, we need the calculating power. One thing I do like about Oracle is Oracle never stands still. Oh, thank you, Jeff. That's great. Oracle never stands still in terms of how it's always developing, always continuing to pick up new markets. Its outcomes they're number one. You know, it's smart, it's smart business from Oracle's perspective, and you can see why Larry continues to make money and Oracle continues to grow. I've been talking about Oracle a lot this week, so it's kind of yet more on this particular tale, but yeah, just seeing that from the point of view now on the video. If you're watching the video, you can have a look at this graphic we're all looking at, and it's one time where video is actually useful, where you can see just how the money go round pattern works. It's fascinating.
I think another way to look at this is a creative financing.
That's smart. I think
Because
you're on the right there.
OpenAI gets the capital that they need potentially without giving up any more equity in their company. I'm sure the founders and the current investors in OpenAI don't want to dilute their ownership anymore by taking a straight, VC type of investment, because then they'd lose, a percentage of what they own of the company. So I think there's a lot of potential for shenanigans here, I guess, is the other thing. And Larry Ellison
Yeah.
is very well known for shenanigans, not so much
He is
NVIDIA.
indeed. He is
NVIDIA and
indeed.
AMD are pretty straight shooters, but Oracle, Larry Ellison is the master of getting full advantage of his advantages, his advantage and
Oh,
NVIDIA's
yeah.
advantage and AMD's advantages. They actually have money. OpenAI doesn't really have money.
If Larry's gone into this with open eyes, he won't be going, the Oracle won't be going into this at all with any other idea than they're going to make money from this.
Well, you know,
And
which is fine. It's
they
just, I
don't tend to
mean,
gamble, do they? Even if they make money out of the flop, they're going to make money somewhere.
they're essentially being banks, sort of, or VCs. And there's a risk if OpenAI falls flat on its face, Oracle will lose whatever they've given to them. But like I said, when it says $100 billion, doesn't mean they're writing a check to OpenAI for $100 billion.
So this whole thing with OpenAI pushing towards a $1 trillion investment, that doesn't mean it's really $1 trillion. But holy
Well, it
crap,
depends
man.
on how the contracts are written, which they're not talking about. They may be both NVIDIA or AMD, NVIDIA, and Oracle maybe get the percentage of the company, but they haven't talked about that. And I always go back to 30, about 30 years ago, the company I work for that sold enterprise software, sells enterprise software, did the exact same thing with a small startup. That small startup was named NVIDIA. And they couldn't afford to buy the software. So essentially, we made a deal where they got software, but the software supplier got equity in NVIDIA in return because they couldn't afford the full price of the software. And it was a good investment.
Well, yeah. I'm assuming they wouldn't have done that if they didn't think NVIDIA was going to give them a good payoff.
Yeah, it was a risk. I mean, that was back in the days when it was far from clear that NVIDIA was going to be successful. Remember, we had S3 and ATI and
ATI, I forgot about
oh,
them.
ATI, yes. and
I have many of their video cards.
there were three or four other graphics card companies back in those days.
Matrox was my favorite. Oh,
Matrox.
yeah, I forgot about them too. They're my
Yeah, so
favorite from
it.
that era.
ATI was the Toronto company and Matrox was the Montreal company. That's how I remember them. Always like going to see Matrox better because they were in Montreal. It was nicer than Toronto. But it is kind of crazy. It's sort of a very creative way to figure out how to fund a company. But when you have personalities like Sam Altman and Larry Ellison involved, I'm always suspicious. On the other hand, when you have people like Lisa Su or Jensen Huang, they're a little bit more reliable. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out.
It will. Okay. By total coincidence, Tom, your story relates to AI as well.
Yes. So my story is from Axios, and I think if you click on it and you can't get in, it asks for an email address. Just give them, jimmyjones@aol.com. It'll work. So you can see the article.
That poor Jimmy Jones has so much
And
email coming
Donald,
in.
yeah,
I mean,
same as Donald Duck.
I think it's funny that websites that require an email to get to the content still allow AOL.com emails. But I've been using jimmyjones@aol.com for 10 years. For this kind of thing. Anyway, so the article is they some researchers did an analysis of looking at articles on the web and using software, so it may or may not be 100% right. They tried to decide which articles were AI generated and which were human generated. And so they have a graph in this article that goes from 2020 to 2025 with the percentage of AI written articles versus human. And of course, 5 years ago, they were 100% human. And it shows, when ChatGPT was launched in 2022 and how the percentage of AI written articles has climbed very quickly over the last 2 or 3 years. But their end result is it's about 50-50. What they found in this analysis is about half of the articles are human written and about half are AI written. And I think it was kind of around the idea of the web is going to turn into nothing but AI written articles, and then new AI models are going to be trained on articles written by AI. And what does that mean? Because the web is the primary content provider for training LLMs anyway. And so on one hand, I was a little bit surprised it was already 50%. But then when I thought about it, it's probably not a surprise given how easy it is to generate articles with AI.
And some of the drivel I've read recently, I'm not surprised in one little bit.
Yeah, there's a
Some
lot
of
of
the stuff
crap
I
out
there's
there.
a lot some of the stuff that's so crap. And then there's, see, the thing is, I worry for journalism when journalism becomes basically writing an article where you're quoting people what someone said on Twitter as news, as
Well, with
actual,
yeah, without any
and
analysis,
yeah,
right?
without any analysis, yeah, it's generally without any analysis. Or the clickbait shite really is also destroying any credible journalism that ever existed before. Where the classic one I saw recently was Richard Attenborough talks about death and we're dying soon. So, oh, is he going to die? The holy grail of all sort of journalists. And you look at an article, and no, it's quoting him in some show where he said, "Yeah, eventually I'll die one day." And that's it. And people write, and I've seen several of these articles now where to get a click, that it's drivel generated. Now, I'm not sure
Well,
if it's human generated drivel or whether it's AI generated drivel, but we're losing the ability to write meaningful, decent, long discourse articles that you and I would actually want to read.
because nobody pays for it. So I think, if you think about it, we've had clickbait almost since the web became commercial 25 years ago. Clickbait has been a thing. Now it's AI written clickbait. But the to me is the first one you mentioned, just plain AI generated articles that are sort of gibberish. And I encounter those most frequently from places like Yahoo Finance, where I'll be looking through my RSS feed and it'll be something about a company that I follow, and I click on it, and all it is the stock of some company went up 2% or down 2%. And it's just some generic statement about stocks go up and down. If it goes up, it may be good. If it goes down, it may be bad. And this company last reported on this date and had this revenue. It doesn't say anything useful.
Exactly.
But
It's that sort
it
of.
got me to click and serve me, four ads.
And then the AI models to help get those four ads in front of you, they will enhance their vacuous content creation. So, like, you'll have a headline about what the article is supposedly going to be about. And then you have at least a third, the first third of the
Right.
article
All the
is,
setup. Yeah.
it's all set up, but it's all hollow.
Yeah. Because they want you to scroll, right?
And then when you finally find the bit that's actually the content of the article, it can be as little as a single sentence.
Yeah, I've encountered that too. That's really maddening.
It's also like recipes. Recipes are some of the worst that have been destroyed by this need to
Well, that's a
scroll.
Google problem.
That you that is not simply a page with a brief description, a recipe, and some nice pictures of what you're going to cook. What it is a whole screen that I don't care about someone deciding they're going to cook this today, and it might have rained outside and they were feeling a bit sad, so they thought they'd cheer themselves up by cooking a lovely plate of whatever it was I was interested in. And then they might talk a bit about the ingredients for a bit longer, and then eventually they might get around to telling you how to make it.
So here's the problem with that, and also the dirty little secret. The people that want to publish their recipes, they have no interest in writing the whole diatribe, the 1,000 words before you actually get to the recipe. They do that because Google, at least at some point, and since they keep their whole algorithm kind of secret, we don't know for sure, but there was for at least a point where you needed to have longer form content, so at least 1,000 words, for Google to give you that SEO juice boost that you wanted. So all of these people that all they want to do is give you a recipe, which might be like, if it's detailed, 300 words total. And so their recipe wouldn't get found because it wasn't long enough. So people had to start writing all this garbage and put the recipe at the bottom. And that's totally a Google thing. But then where AI can really play into that is you have a recipe that you want to share. You have no interest in spending the time and energy in writing the 1,000-word crap piece that has to go in front of it. Let AI write the garbage part for you because everyone's going to skip it anyhow, and then just have your recipe.
So do you think there's the similar reason why YouTube instructional videos do the same thing? There's 10 minutes of setup, and then, I want to figure out how to replace the battery and my car key fob. And it's a 10-minute video, and the first 8 minutes is some guy bullshitting about cars or whatever. And then at the very end, he says, "By the way, this is how you replace the battery."
Okay, I could be completely wrong here. Just prefacing with that, what I have heard and have not verified myself is that has to do with the required length of videos to achieve monetization.
Yes, exactly that. I was looking at some stuff about how to get videos seen on YouTube and how to get kind of things. A lot of creators talk about making sure there's an optimum length, and that optimum length include you means you need to have some nonsense to fill up n number of minutes before you get to your punchline, and that's enough for them to be able to for you to effectively monetize it. If you've got enough viewers, people will see it. They can carve that 10 minutes up into ad segment plus the payoff.
So the reasoning is if it's too short, you can't insert enough ads.
Bingo.
Yeah, it's I'm sure it's more complicated than that, but yeah, there you go.
But I think that's the simpleton's view anyway. This simpleton,
Because
his view, it's.
that has caused me to use YouTube a lot less for, how-to stuff. I used to use it all the time. How do I whatever. Replace the taillight bulb in my car. I could go out and figure it out and it would take me 2 hours, but it would be nicer if I could just see a guy who knows how to do it so I didn't make any mistakes.
I deal with the same frustration. It's all I need is the answer to, hey, what is this one thing? Or where is the one bolt in the car so that I can get at the thing? And yeah. And you have five different videos, each of them is 10 minutes long, and you don't know which one actually has the right bit.
So you got to watch all of
So you have to
them,
watch, yeah. So you watch an hour of videos to get 10 seconds of information. And yeah.
I guess it is all following the Enchidification curve, But so I guess, given back to this article, given the rate of increase of the percentage of AI written articles, I would guess in a year or two it's going to be 75% AI written.
Well, based on my experience with what's been happening with clients that I've been writing for over the past couple years, once OpenAI took off, what was that, November 2022? It was like someone flipped the off switch. And the number of companies that I worked with for content creation has just tanked dramatically because they've either, sw excuse me, they've switched over to doing AI content themselves, or they got pushed out of the space because they didn't handle the transition correctly, or
Right.
for whatever
I
reason, they're
mean,
just not part of it anymore. So yeah, it's going to get worse.
it is interesting that the curve is obviously it jumped a lot when ChatGPT was tried. It went from, about 10% to 40% in less than a year, in about a year. Increased the AI content, and it's only gone from 40% to 50% in about 2 years. So the rate of increase has slowed dramatically. So I'm wondering if there's ever going to be any kind of blowback where people stop going to pages that they know are AI generated, and there's a tide that turns towards human long form content again. I'm not sure how much faith in humanity I have, but I would hope that that would be the direction.
I mean, I'm still a subscriber to Medium, which is a long form content. I pay $5 a month to view it, and that's still something I support, because there's enough of it that people are actually writing versus enough that people are doing AI generated drivel as well. It's again that balance, there's a balance there. I caught what something you were about to say, Jeff, I think, before you jumped in a bit quick there.
I don't remember if it probably was vacuous, much like the rest of the AI content.
Sorry, I thought I spoke over you, mate. But yes, I do try and support now more long form creative content where I can feel that there's a real journalist there that's been researching and writing, or even just writing for writing's sake, because that does feel nicer.
I still subscribe digital subscriptions to or two of our newspapers, the San Jose and San Francisco newspaper. And I subscribe to, I guess, one Patreon of a guy that does long form videos and articles on educational stuff. But I worry that guys like us are the minority. I mean, do you think there are many 25-year-olds that pay for any kind of news content?
Probably not many,
No.
and that's not necessarily a hit on them, because they were raised in a world where it was expected that all content is freely available.
I don't blame them either. I think maybe if there are good high quality news reporting sites that become popular, but they're ad supported, that would be fine. I mean, that's the old model, right?
I mean, I'm getting sick now of any of the major newspapers over here. Pretty much everything there's, it's all behind, particularly with Apple News, it's all behind a, anything worth reading is all behind the paywall. And I think, oh, come on, I've had enough now. I can't be bothered. I'm not, it's, I'll take it from the outlets that don't charge me to read it. You know, it's, what if I do? You know, it's the same shite being published by another guy as the one before. It's, you've worded it maybe a little bit nicer. I've still got the BBC, if all else fails, which usually cover every major news story reasonably well, and a couple other independent sort of news sources over here. There's Reuters always, Al Jazeera if I want a slightly more, a less Western bias. But yeah, it becomes a thing where the local news is just the same articles being recycled by all the same news, by the same newspaper, by the a sequence of newspapers for each local area, but there's one bulk, there's one pool of articles, and they just get spammed out, and it's all junk and all rubbish.
What I've found with our two local papers is there's a lot of crap. It's just reposting AP articles or New York Times articles. But the local coverage will be, I would say, probably once a week, 1 to 3 times a week. They will have articles that we would probably categorize as investigative journalism that was done by a real person who physically went and interviewed people and wrote sort of an old school style article. And I think their point is it's behind a paywall because if you didn't pay for it, they couldn't pay for those reporters. And the ads just don't, they tried ad supported. They all first went to the web and it didn't work. So I think it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. If people don't subscribe, then people can't afford to work as a journalist, and one by one they start all these publications start dropping off. I mean, I just read that the LA Times has lost $50 million in their most recent financial period, which is more than just a problem with journalism. The person who bought it is kind of a wacko, so
Are they still pub are you still publishing a paper, a paper a physical paper,
Yeah, I
the LA
can
Times? I don't know
around
what the
here, I can
smaller.
still it would cost me over $1,000 a year, but I could get the San Francisco Chronicle delivered to my house every day.
Okay, so they do. There is still a physical paper because I know a lot of
Yeah.
the small. I was reading before in the US, but a lot of the smaller sort of hometown journalism type thing was dying away because they
Yeah,
couldn't
the
afford to
small
run
towns, it in the small
the
towns,
paper
it's
copy wasn't
gone.
existing
But
anymore.
San Francisco, Los Angeles, Chicago, New York, the big cities still have paper, physical papers. I just don't. The only people who still get a physical paper are all over 60 years old, I'm sure.
My mother and
Them and
father-in-law, they have
libraries. Yeah,
they
and
have the physical
libraries.
paper still, and libraries for posterity.
So, since both of you brought AI related articles, before we move on to cool things, I feel like I need to drop the article that I brought just because, well, it's AI related also, but slightly different angle.
Oh no. Oh no. You had
Oh,
to co cover
Jeff.
this one.
I had to. So ChatGPT is going to become your porn buddy.
Wonderful.
Sam Altman has said that now that they've tackled the problem of how to safely use, I guess, the OpenAI chatbot for mental health issues. Oh my God.
Mental health issues.
That now that they can address something else, which is treating adults using ChatGPT as adults, which means that that they will allow verified adults to use ChatGPT for erotica.
So someone has told Sam Altman, look how everything became successful. Put naked ladies on it. And he's gone, oh yeah. And because I saw at the bottom of
That
that
wouldn't be the
article
first
someone
time that's
comments,
happened in
no,
technology,
no,
right?
in technology,
Right.
what has driven every advance in the home entertainment sphere? Every one of them. Porn. Every single one of them.
I'm convinced
VCRs.
that.
DVD, the formats, it chose the formats because they're the ones the most successfully things got published on. What else did it drive? It drove the internet. It brought the internet on. Porn, always, because we didn't show images better. You don't wait 10 minutes for the picture of the naked Daryl Hannah to take ages for it to draw down the screen before you saw her.
Yeah, you needed
You
the
know,
ASCII version. That would load way faster.
yeah. But it has, I mean, it's okay. Now I feel that. Open ChatGPT and OpenAI has got some success coming forward. There'll be naked ladies.
I'm convinced that's where Apple's Vision Pro is going to end up.
Oh, my Lord.
Well, of course it is. That's already an option for other VR headsets. So, yeah, if it's not already there for Vision Pro, it's on the way and will be there soon.
As soon as people figure out side loading, they'll do it, right?
So, anyhow, that was just my quick little.
But how about the whole thing about the way he couches this as some sort of virtuous thing he's doing when in fact he just wants to make money from it, as Ian pointed out.
He
You know,
just wants to make money. He wants to
the
make his. He
bullshit is
wants to
just
make his.
overwhelming.
You can smell it from here. It is. It's bollocks. It's simply the fact that we know how to make money with this platform. We'll put naked ladies on it, or naked men, whichever you prefer. It will put them on, or your
Or
furry
naked
porn, or whatever you
aliens.
want. I think it actually is a
G'day,
furry
mate.
porn. Whatever the hell you want, you can find it, and you can ask OpenAI to generate you an image that looks exactly like what you want to see.
You know, Ian, fairy porn kind of hits a little bit close to home, so.
Yeah, I'm I hadn't thought about it till just now, and sadly, I can't unthink it. What's the market for Muppet porn?
Already been done, I'm sure.
Miss
God,
Piggy porn.
it's already been done. You know it has. If you've now thought of it, someone was there before you and thought, I know what I need for this evening's entertainment. And it's already somewhere, it's out there somewhere.
Yeah, Kermit the Frog wants to show off his great gonzo.
So here's a question. 5 years from now, are we going to look back and say, who was the bigger shyster, Elon Musk or Sam Altman? I'm voting for Sam Altman. I
Yeah,
think
I think you're right. I
he's
think
going
you're
to end up
right.
being the biggest clown.
That's man, that's a tough call. Okay, so I was having a discussion earlier today about AI and how it's being used today. And one of the things that I said in the discussion was that I expect 80 years from now, we will be looking at the way we use AI today in the same way that we currently look at the way people were using radiation 80, 100 years ago.
Or asbestos.
Yeah, or asbestos. Because, I mean, we look back at that and we're like,
DDT.
oh my God, people stuck their feet in radiation boxes to see their feet inside their shoes. People drank water with radium in it for the air quotes health benefits that will cure everything. And I think we will, not we, but the people that come after us will be just as appalled with how AI is being used today.
But this asbestos is a really good insulator, and it's cheap too.
And it'll keep your
And a man
babies
on
from
my
burning.
street died of asbestosis not
Yeah, it won't
a couple of
burn.
years ago. And so it's incredible. And there's one thing I've seen this week on LinkedIn. I don't know what company's marketing's using it, but there's talking about innovators and and taking the next steps forward as well. And they're using an image of Marie Curie. I'm not sure what I think about that entirely. Yes, she was an innovator, but she died for her craft.
She did.
You know, it's is this. I'm not sure how I think about that.
She definitely, not intentionally, but definitely gave her all for her
Yeah,
research.
no
No
lie. She
kidding.
gave her life for her research completely. We wouldn't know what we know today without her work.
That's true. All right. Well, there's no graceful segue from that into,
No.
hey, we have a sponsor and that's super cool.
Well, they're in the safety industry. That's got to be a good thing.
Oh, that's true. If
There you go.
only Marie Curie had contacted AWE Technologies, she probably would still be alive today. How was that? Was that a good
Some she's
pick?
out about. They could well have sold her
He
radiation
pulled it
detectors.
off, Jeff.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, it's been great having AWE Technologies as a sponsor, and I guess that's probably the last time they'll be here. No, what they're doing is taking care of what we need to be able to bring quality content to like this to you every single week. So that's like the server hosting space, the bandwidth for live streams, all of that. And without their help, we would not be able to do what we do. So we really appreciate AWE Technologies. And for those of you that are like, AWE Technologies, what is that? Well, first off, you should be listening. Pay attention because we've talked about this more than once. But just to get you up to speed, they do the monitoring, like video and environmental monitoring at your production construction site. And if you need to be able to monitor all the conditions at whatever your project site is, they've got you covered. And if you've gone to check out their website, which you should because it's nice, you'd see that their specialty is railways. So, check them out. Awe Technologies, AWE Technologies.co.uk. And thank you, Awe Technologies, for being our sponsor. Okay, so if Patrice were here, but she's a jet setter. She's a mover and shaker. She's out doing stuff. So she can't be with us today. But if she were here, I would very humbly ask her if she could tell us about the live stream and the live chat. The irony is, it's not happening today, and it's my fault. Well, it's my computer's fault. Actually, I think it's Apple's fault with Mac OS Big Lake, Mac OS 26. Anyhow, that's not the point. The point is, when it's all working, it's awesome, and Patrice made it all updated and everything, and that's why it works. And anyhow, the live chat that goes along with it, that's where you find the links for all of the articles that we talk about, the cool things we're going to talk about, that'll all be there too. You find that by going to live.britishtechnetwork.com and
That's for the live chat.
yeah, that's for the live chat.
Oh, okay.
Oh my God, Tom, even you're not listening anymore.
I thought you were talking about because we don't have any live chat today.
Oh,
Sorry.
but if we did have a live
If
chat,
we did have a live
sorry,
chat,
if we
you're
did have a live chat, that's where it would be. Now, since we don't have a live chat today, don't worry, you're still going to be able to see all of this stuff because we're going to take all the links and we will put them into the archive for the live chat had it actually been there. So it'll be almost like we had a live chat when it happened. It's just time shifted, like when you watch or listen to the show recordings later on. So to get to that, you go to britishtechnetwork.com/chat and you see a calendar. Click on the date for the show. And for today, that is Thursday, October 16th, 2025. And that's where you're going to see all those links. So, since we're going to have to add those after the fact, it might be a couple days after the show recordings go live that you'll be able to see those links there. But don't worry, if they're going to show up, they'll be there for you.
So
Anyhow,
Jeff, I was just thinking, is the opposite of live chat dead chat? Should we be calling that, refer to that as dead chat? You said it was time shifted.
Well, let's see. We are fast approaching Halloween. So,
Okay.
yes, in fact, it is. It's so if it's live chat time shifted, it's more like zombie chat.
Zombie chat, there you go. Zombie
That's what we're
chat. That
doing.
I like that.
So the zombie chat is at britishtechnetwork.com/chat.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, with that, let's do some cool things. And it looks like Ian has the first cool thing. So tell
Cool
us about
thing
that.
is a
Oh
very
my
funny
God.
YouTuber.
Uncle Roger, I love this guy.
Yes, this guy is
I,
fantastic.
uh...
Nigel Ung, Nigel Ng, I'm not sure how you do the NG surname. I'm going with Ung, is a comedian who creates videos on YouTube under the alter ego of Uncle Roger. He rips the piss out of TV chefs and their bad recipe for making
Especially
Asian food.
Jamie Oliver.
Jamie Oliver gets an incredibly tough time, whereas some of the other TV chefs, particularly one of my favorites, which is Gordon Ramsay, he's kind of got alongside with him and they've done stuff together, which is really funny. So it is very, very funny to watch some of him take apart and actually, and not like it's criticism that's actually just making up for the sake of it. He's actually going, no, that's wrong. Why would you do that? That's wrong. Why would you do that? And I have to agree with him. Why would you do that?
Right.
So
Yeah.
fantastically funny. It's not like it's for the sake of comedy. It's because they don't know how to make egg fried rice in the case of the one I watched today that I was sent the link for, which reminded me how good this was Jamie Oliver making some Korean dish that was nothing like any real Korean dish. And There
I
was
love
much
his
swear. There was much swearing, and he's very, very funny.
description on his YouTube page. Not a chef, I just complain.
Complain. Yeah, so he's an American. I'm not sure which nationality he is, but he does one of those exaggerated Chinese accents for his reviews.
He is absolutely
Yeah, he's a
fantastic. He
very
is so
funny
funny,
comedian. Very funny comedian.
and clearly he knows his food and how to
Yes.
cook, because I mean he is right on it with everything.
Yeah, he knows how to. He's not. I mean, this is by an example. I'm only a home chef and a TV chef at that. But traditional food that's made home from where he's from, and family and things, he knows how that's made. So when he sees TV chefs doing stupid things, like making things with basmati rice, like he was making a Korean dish with basmati rice. Wrong sort of rice. No, don't do that.
Wrong
Why
rice,
you? Yeah, why are you using American barbecue sauce? You're meant to use Korean sauce. Why are you putting raw cabbage in instead of kimchi? Come on, you know, it was things like this. It was all reasonable complaints of why are you doing this? You know, and very, very funny. I enjoyed it. It was a nice way to spend 10 minutes this afternoon giggling away at his swearing, and mostly Jamie Oliver.
Yeah, he's awesome, and I feel like I want to add hi-ya to my lexicon, but I
Yes.
also feel like it would be horribly inappropriate for me to do
Yes.
that, so I'm not
Yes.
going to.
You can't do it, can you? He has again the way that I can do certain Indian sounding things without looking like a twat. Again, I couldn't do any of his things without looking like a twat.
Yeah.
You need certain license for that, and that man has that license to do the exaggerated Chinese accent, the yeah things.
Yeah, he definitely does. Wow. Okay. Well, Tom, it looks like for your cool thing, you're taking us back to Broadway.
This will be
Oh,
probably the
what?
first and last time that I will ever pick a musical as a cool thing,
I'm
because
glad I was here for it.
I actually hate
Ooh.
musicals. I love Broadway plays. I hate musicals
Oh,
in
yeah.
general. I can think of maybe one or two that I've enjoyed. Anyway, this one is about Broadway is going to be host to a Lost Boys Broadway musical. So Lost Boys was, I think, a semi cult favorite from mid
Yeah.
1980s, 87.
Yeah, I remember the movie.
And it was really popular here because it was filmed in Santa Cruz and the town, I forget what they called it. But it's Santa Cruz. So all the film locations were Santa Cruz, the boardwalk, and all that stuff. And it was with Diane West, Edward Herman, Corey Haim,
Kiefer
Kiefer
Sutherland.
Sutherland. Anyway, I love that movie. I think that's one of the funniest, coolest cult movies of anyway, one of
Yeah.
my favorites. But I just can't imagine what a Broadway musical of that movie is going to be like. And I would probably be willing to pay a couple $100 just to see how they pull it off.
Well, good news, you're going to be able to.
Yeah. Anyway, and I have a small cool thing just for Jeff. Santa Rosa police yesterday arrested a man in Santa Rosa, just north of San Francisco, for stealing Lego, and he apparently had thousands, in quote, thousands of Lego blocks in his house that he was repackaging for sale. So, Jeff, rest easy. The Lego thief has been caught.
Oh, finally, I'll be able to sleep at night.
It's just that thing with criminals, you know. I need to make money being a criminal. What is my angle? I'm gonna steal Lego.
There's big money in Lego.
I guess, but there's also a hell of a lot of work. You got to steal it, and then apparently he's repackaging it, and then you got to figure out what do you stand at the corner and say, "Hey, kid, you want some
Well, I
Lego?"
mean, okay, so why is he repackaging it? It
I
is
don't know. I didn't
I've
get
no
that
idea.
part of
Why
it.
would you?
Because the easy money, I hear.
is the kit, right? Would be the kit.
Yeah,
The
you
big kids.
you steal a bunch of kits and then resell those.
Maybe it's less traceable if you just buy the raw blocks and then just put them in Ziploc bags and sell them on eBay. Maybe it's harder to trace.
I need a dime bag of two studs.
Want
My
yellow or red? You
God.
need the red,
Red or
babe.
blue?
Yeah.
Oh my
Red or
God.
blue?
Oh, okay. It probably says a lot that I was able, just like off the top of my head, to make a Lego is drugs joke.
Right.
Yeah. All right. So, okay. Well, then my pick, which does not have anything to do with Broadway musicals, Uncle Roger or Lego, it's the new camera mount that I'm
Oh.
using. So a while ago, a few months ago, I replaced my webcam with an Obspot Meet 2, which is just this tiny little box. And the camera mount that I've been using for podcasting, while I could make it work, it wasn't the right kind of mount for what I needed to do. I couldn't get the camera at the height that I wanted and the angle that I wanted. So I had to come up with something else. And my search has finally come to an end. And that's with the Neewer 22-inch magic arm mount. So it's articulated. It has one, two, three arm joints, and then so I guess technically four joints because there's one at the base. And the base clamp is designed so you can attach it to a table, or you can attach it to a post. So like in my case, I have studio lights on posts on either side of my desk. They're clamped to the desk. So I just took this and clamped it to one of
That's pretty
those
good.
studio light posts. And then I could get the camera in, and I actually flipped the camera upside down, so the mounting hole is now on the top, and attached the camera to the mount. And so my camera just sticks down in front of my display a little bit and gets it back at eye level. And when I'm not using it, I just release one of the articulated joints, spin it out of the way, and it's set. It does come with a holder for a smartphone. So if you wanted to use this with whatever smartphone you want to do, also if you're doing stuff like you needed to shoot at your desk surface, you could just with the articulation it has, you can do a lot. So,
I
yeah.
wonder if that would work in a car, because there's something I want to do some recording in a car.
If you could find something to clamp it
You
to,
clamp
it
it
would.
to
Yeah,
what kind of
the you could probably do it to the bit the poles that stick up underneath the headrests. That's what I was thinking. Those are a
it
reasonable bore. You could clamp put the clamp around that. That might work.
yeah, that might work.
I don't really want to go for sticky things with
Nah.
suction cups. I want
Nah.
something a bit sturdier that's not gonna.
Yeah. So this one, US dollars, it's like always listed at
Same in
$33.99.
pounds. Same in pounds. So I've just
But it's always on
flipped it.
sale, it seems.
Oh, is there an offer?
Yeah,
Yeah,
so
wait,
like
there's not an
here
offer
in
at
the
the minute.
US, there's a coupon, just do a little checkbox on the screen,
Oh, yeah.
$30.59.
Get
I bought
$4
it
off.
during the fall Amazon Prime sale, and so I got it for like $20. I've been told by other people that if you're lucky and you catch it at the right time, you can get this on sale for like $15 or $16. But I've never seen
That's
it
one
at that price point.
I think I might add this one to save for later and see if it pops up on cheaper.
Yeah, totally do it. I'm impressed with this. And for we'll call it $30. My hopes weren't that high, but I figured it was a safe gamble. And it turns out this thing actually works great. So there you go.
That's a good price. Is it reasonably well built?
Yeah. The arms, what are these? Well, it's a mix of materials, some plastic parts and metal parts. I believe the arms themselves are metal. The brackets for the joints, those are plastic, but
Yeah.
it wouldn't surprise. Well, there's a metal core in them because you have the butterfly screws
Right.
for
Right,
tightening the
I can
joints.
see that. Yeah, that's good. So you
Yeah.
say you flip your camera upside down for best positioning, and then do you mirror your video then? Or flip your video?
Nope, didn't even need to. The camera did it
Oh.
automatically. But
Oh,
otherwise, yeah,
okay.
I would have it rotate the video.
Right. That's cool.
So there you go. The Neewer 22-inch Magic Arm desk clamp mount. Okay.
And as most things on Amazon, they always need help with product names and company names.
Yep.
Neewer? What the heck is that?
Right, Neewer. I don't know. It's
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I need to share one that I found the other day. Oh, where is it now? Where was it? I can't
That
find
looks
you did.
good,
It was
Jeff.
another terrible.
Yeah, I'm very pleased with it. All right, so Ian, while you're looking that up, I'm going to start telling everyone how happy I am that we spent this time together today. Both of you rock, and thank you for putting up with me while I did more troubleshooting to figure out why the audio issue that I was having with the live stream that I had fixed was not fixed when we actually needed to use it outside of testing. I have no idea. Yeah, but anyhow, thank you to both of you for being so awesome. This has been a lot of fun, and I'm glad we're spending this time together today. So,
Yeah,
Tom,
it's good fun.
where can people find you?
People can find me on Mastodon. I am Tom F at sfba.social. Thanks, Jeff.
Awesome. Okay. And Ian, how about you?
Me, I can be found on LinkedIn. I'm Ian Grant. I work for Veeam. You can find me on Instagram as either Teal Boa or as Ian G underscore watches. Those are the best places to sort of see me doing things that I do. And here every Thursday on the Big Show when I get the opportunity. Always good.
Awesome. Okay. Well, then let's see. For me, I am Jay Gammon on the socials. Most active right now on Mastodon, Blue Sky, and Pixel Fed. And yeah, so if you're checking out my stuff there right now, because we're in the middle of October, you will see a new drawing each day because it's Inktober. And so I'm taking the daily prompt each day and doing a drawing. And they're all very simple sketches because I limit myself just a personal thing so that it doesn't become like this onerous project where it feels like a chore. I see the prompt, and that gives me 15 minutes from seeing what the word prompt is for the day to when I need to be finished with my drawing.
15 minutes. Oh.
15 minutes. And so like today's was Bungle, I think. And that one took me a bit of time to figure out what I was going to do. But once I did, I'm like, okay, I can do a very simple sketch for this. And yeah. Anyhow, so okay. Other shows you can find me on too. So like I'll just do a couple today because I feel like I've just rambled so much today. How about Chuck Joyner's Mac Voices Live and Dave Ginsberg's In Touch with iOS? And I would be remiss if I didn't mention that Patrice and I do retro rewatch, and we're having a lot of fun with that. Well, I've already done all the rest of the show, so I guess I better toss in The Context Machine with Brian Chaffin. And now you've got everything. Okay. So with that, hey, thank you everyone for joining us. I'd say joining us live today, but hey, technical issues. What? Yeah, we'll get it sorted
Yeah.
out. Yeah. Top men. Anyhow, so everyone, thank you for joining us on the recordings, watching, listening when you have a chance. When we are actually live, thank you to everyone that participates in the live chat because that's cool. It's a lot of fun. Hey, Ian, thanks for being you. Muller, thanks
Thank
for
you.
making sure we have people for shows. And Awe Technologies, thank you for being our sponsor, awetechnologies.co.uk. With that, hey, don't forget to join us tomorrow for the Mac show. I can't wait to see if my audio works correctly for that. Join us again next Thursday for the big show again. And everyone, have an awesome weekend.